Chapter 3. Life at number 143. Voices rang out across the Powell estate. "She's back! She's alive! She's here!" Neighbours stood in their doorways to look over the railings as Rose wandered home, their cries echoing up and down the concrete gullies and canyons. Rose smiled, embarrassed but delighted, gave a little ta-da gesture as she reached the central square and laughed out loud as five or six people applauded her. She gave them a wave with the plastic arm. Questions hailed down. "What happened? How are you? Who's to blame?" But they sank into background noise as a woman in double denim burst out of the Enoch Tower and raced towards Rose like a little blonde missile. Rose flinched, wondering if she was going to get a hug or a slap. A hug, of course. Woomph! Her mum grabbed hold of her and squeezed her tight. Jackie Tyler, 5 foot nothing, age not relevant, karaoke champion of the spinning wheel, life and soul of the party, but a monumental lightning storm when angry, now sobbing and laughing, and then somehow finding a reason to give Rose a punch on the arm. "You stupid girl! Why am I stupid? You just are!" And then she hugged Rose again. She wrapped an arm around her daughter and led her inside. More neighbours clapped and cheered, and Jackie waved as though she had single-handedly rescued Rose and brought her home to safety. The Powell estate had been built in 1973. Two towers of 16 floors, with six flats per story, rising above a squat quadrant with shops on the ground level. A chemist, a newsagent, Dev the bookies, Chicken Shack and Rack, and a shop which failed and changed every 6 months, currently cards and gift wrap. One tower was unofficially called Enoch, the other Powell, in the mistaken belief that the MP Enoch Powell had christened the estate when in fact it had been named after the developer's wife's mother, Mary Jane Powell, a socialite and drunk who died falling off a balcony in 1951. The Tylers lived in Enoch, on the 14th floor, number 143. A bright red door opened into a narrow hallway lined with photos of Rose's father, leading to a lounge with a big TV in one corner opposite a hatch and doorway which separated off the tiny cluttered kitchen. The flat was never quiet at the best of times, but tonight it was open house. "Wartime spirit!" cried Jackie. People came to and fro to hug and kiss Rose, as if to convince themselves she was truly alive. Jackie kept the kettle boiling and the beers flowing, and when Mickey arrived, a huge hug for Rose. "I thought I'd lost you, baby. Don't ever do that to me again." He was dragooned into providing refreshments, Jackie giving him £5 to go and buy crisps. Mrs. Jayasundara came round with a tray of baked apples. Rue and Bao from number 136 knelt on the floor in front of Rose and wept, holding her hands in prayer. Howard from the market brought round a bag of Cox's pippins, and even two of the Corcoran kids, no one liked the Corcoran kids, came round to check that Rose was okay. In the background, on the television, Friday night programmes had been suspended. The BBC carrying live news from the site of the terrorist atrocity in central London. Footage of Henricks, all rubble and flames, glowed on the screen. Rose watched it all with a faint, dazed smile, thanking everyone politely, eating both an apple and a baked apple. And then she shushed everyone as the TV news reported a miracle of sorts. It turned out that a series of fake memos had been sent that afternoon, dispatching security guards, cleaners and basement staff to the Henricks depot on Armitage Lane West. So they weren't inside the building when it blew up. Whoever had planted the bomb had taken care to evacuate the site, although there was still no sign of the senior caretaker, Bernard Wilson. The babble went on around Rose. Jackie on the phone declaring to Cousin Sue, "She's here now! She looks a wreck, skin like an old Bible. I swear if you walked in here now, you'd think I was her daughter." While Mickey asked if anyone minded, switched off the news and channel surfed to find the football. But she sank into her own thoughts. So the doctor wasn't a murderer after all. He'd said that poor old Wilson was dead and he'd sounded heartless, ruthless, but not guilty. And yet, what about the other people, dressed as dummies? Surely the police would have found their bodies, unless they'd found, well, plastic. cold, hard plastic lying in the ruins. But those mannequins had moved. They'd walked, they'd run. Living plastic, the doctor had said. But how can plastic be alive? Enough, she thought, enough. And she slapped the dummy's arm into Mickey's hands. Take that. Take it and get rid of it. Well, good thinking, yeah, said Mickey, with that gleam of an idea in his eye. Because what you need is a good drink inside you, my treat. I've got a cup of tea. No, you need something stronger. Let's go down the pub, you and me, right now. She smiled, knowing Mickey all too well. You want to see the match, don't you? He looked horrified. No way. It's finished. It's over. We missed it. This is all about you, babe. Although, he couldn't help breaking into a grin. Mickey Smith had the most disarming smile. I could still catch the highlights. I knew it, you daft sod. Go on then, go. Don't worry about me, I'm knackered. I'm going to go to bed, said Rose, and she tapped the plastic arm. Just make sure you get rid of that thing. He leaned in, kissed her, said quietly, do you want me to stay the night? But she smiled at him, no thanks, and he stood up and crossed the room. He paused in the doorway to pretend the plastic hand was strangling him. Rose could have bet 10 quid he'd do that. And then he gave a goodbye wave with the arm and sauntered off with a cheery, see ya. Jackie cupped Rose's face and said, oh, look at you, you're exhausted. Then she added, and your roots need doing too. She began shooing everyone out of the flat. Rose heaved herself out of the chair, exhaustion hitting her now. She sloped into her bedroom. She couldn't even be bothered brushing her teeth. She just yanked off her clothes, threw them on the floor, and crawled under the duvet. Even then, sleep wouldn't come. The whole night kept replaying, churning behind her eyes. Dummies. Flames. Blue eyes. But most of all, the shame that she had felt earlier grew stronger now, gaining in power in the darkness. The feeling that she'd let everyone down. Most of all, herself. She wondered, is this a girl thing? Would a boy be down the pub with Mickey laughing, burning off the adrenaline with football and beers, while she lay here feeling embarrassed? She was astonished that she'd surrendered and allowed that man to push her around. She had expected so much better of herself, and maybe that was the real problem. No one else expected better of her, ever. School never had, Mum didn't. Jimmy Stone had told her she was thick. Even Mickey, who adored her, knew he didn't need to try very hard. But secretly, tucked away in her heart, Rose had always thought herself better than anyone else could see. Until tonight. Now she knew that the others were right. She was plain dumb, slow Rose Tyler. No good in a fight, no help in an emergency, no use to anyone. It is an enormous blow to be what everyone expects you to be. She drifted off to sleep, borne there by defeat, dismay, and disappointment. 3 a.m., Rose surfaced, hearing the swish and sway of the cat flap swinging to and fro. They'd never had a cat. Jackie was always promising to nail the flap down to stop strays getting in, but she'd never got round to it. Rose propped herself up on one elbow, listening. A shuffle of noise in the hallway. At floor level. And then she heard a tiny tap low down on her bedroom door, then a scrabbling, then stronger tick, tick, tick against the wood. She called out, go away! A pause. Then the scrabbling retreated, rat-a-tat-tat on the laminate floor. She waited, listening hard, but the flat had fallen back into silence. Bloody cats, thought Rose. She curled the duvet around her and sank back into darkness. In her deep, dreamless sleep, she didn't hear the soft, slow tap from the living room. Like a finger. Tapping. Waiting.